T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. 6 o'clock TV hour.
Remember this scene in Tommy Boy?
Sessenburg return. Listen to yourself turn.
I think I saw it once when I was in college, and that was like 18 years ago. So I have no recollection of that scene, though. No.
You're in timeout till 3:10.
Well, I could sit out for a minute and a half. I'll fall on that sword.
By the way, a growing number of major retailers say they will not be open on Thanksgiving Day this year, Dana Wright. The move seems to be a reverse of a trend that has popped up in recent years as chains who were eager to get first dibs on consumers' holiday spending cash threw open their doors earlier and earlier. They included Best Buy, Kohl's, JCPenney, Macy's. While many shoppers loved the idea, the employees did not. That's because they missed out on Thanksgiving with their families. So here is the list of stores that say they will be closed now on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Ace Hardware, Costco, Home Depot, IKEA, Lowe's. By the way, a lot of hardware stores. Staples, Stein Mart, TJ Maxx. They join chains like Hobby Lobby that have steadfastly refused.
I'm not hearing any of the big culprits that had moved to open the doors earlier.
Like Target and Walmart.
Right.
Yeah. You're not seeing them yet. No. Nope.
You know what the solution to this whole thing is, right?
We just don't go.
Well, that's one solution. I would propose the easiest and way, the way we fix all of this once and for all is to do what the Canadians do. Have Thanksgiving on the date that we have Columbus Day. Especially knowing what we know now about Christopher Columbus, why don't we just turn that into Thanksgiving? And so that way we don't have an issue with Christmas running right over the top of Thanksgiving. Because now Thanksgiving's in October. I mean, that fixes all of it.
Yeah. I saw some Christmas stuff out the other day, and I about took a hostage. It's too early. I'm not ready.
Have you been into Lowe's lately?
It's all out.
All the Christmas trees are out. All the fake Christmas trees. All the decorations are out.
A friend of mine wrote on Facebook, yay! And I thought,
no.
No. No.
No. No.
We just got fall. Like, this week, fall is here.
I don't even have a Christmas tree.
I know.
Well, now that's just wrong.
I know. He doesn't. He's got like a little
I have a little
table.
Tree. A little table tree. It's about this tall.
Tree.
Wow.
Where am I going to put it?
You really deck the halls in a big way, don't you?
Right. He doesn't deck the hall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the crazy thing is the guy on this show who probably goes to church more than anybody else is the one who doesn't have a Christmas tree.
That is true.
How often do you go to church?
More than you.
You want to bet?
Are we really going to fight over this?
Are we puffing out chests over who goes
to church the most?
Jeez, I think we are. I'm just saying that seemed like a real, something real casual to just say, well, I bet I go to church more than you. It's like, whoa, where'd we come up with that?
Gentlemen, back to your corners.
Yeah.
Do you know who also went to church all the time?
Who?
Dennis Rader.
He was an elder. BTK.
Does not mean you are a good person.
I'm not a serial killer.
I didn't say you were. I'm just saying, every time somebody says, well, he's good, he goes to church every weekend, I always say, so did Dennis Rader. Like, I don't think that necessarily
it's like
is indicative of...
It's like the neighbor that turned out to be a serial killer, and you're like, He seemed like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Side note,
why is quiet?
Why does that always happen on television? They interview the neighbor and say, gosh, we never suspected a thing. Wouldn't it actually be newsworthy if they were sitting over there going, well, yeah, I saw this coming for 5 years. You kidding me?
We've been waiting.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised it took this long.
Maybe he was so quiet, you dumb, dumb, non-paying attention neighbor, because he was too busy inside sawing up victims.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he never came out. That's why he was always quiet.
But people say the reason we don't know each other anymore, like really know each other the way we used to know each other, is because of the automatic garage door. Garage door goes up. You pull that car in.
You walk right into the house.
Garage door goes down. You walk right into the house.
Well, but I spent a lot of time outside in my yard. I've gotten to know the guy in the corner pretty well. I think his name is Chris.
Oh, you've gotten to know him
real well.
He doesn't know what his name is.
We're almost on a first name basis.
Like, hey, now, wait a minute. Hey, guy.
Guy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, fella.
Hey, Tiger. How you doing? Here's the problem. The guy in the corner and I, he even invited me into his house, and it's very beautiful. He introduced himself. I am horrible at remembering somebody's name the first time I hear it.
Me too.
And I don't have the guts.
Because it's been a while now.
Now that we've talked like five or six times, and I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? I don't have the guts to go,
I am so sorry.
I forgot your name.
You could always go with, how do you spell your name again? And hope it's not Bob.
Yeah. Just go with Old Sport.
I think his name is Chris. I that's what I want to go with.
Mm-hmm. But could be Matt, could be Brian, could be Brad.
Yeah.
Find a way to bring up your driver's license photo. Like, next time you're talking,
yeah,
to be like...
that makes perfect sense.
No. That's why I said find a way to bring it up, because then...
Hey, do you have one of those new real ID... Here you go.
Next time you're talking,
buddy.
Hey, how's it going? You know, Dude. It's fine. Although, I got to say, I got my new driver's license. It's the worst photo I've ever had. Can you believe this?
Or
because everybody likes to compare bad driver's license
photos.
Do
you have one of those new real ID licenses? Because I'm curious if yours looks different than mine.
You know that the real ID is just a red star on your license. It's no different.
I'm trying to help you out here without telling you to commit a federal crime, which would be stealing his mail.
I understand. Somebody on the text line says, Google his address. Great idea. He's a renter.
That doesn't work real well. Still
somebody
a big
says,
fan of the old
then,
sport.
Then somebody says, go look in his mailbox. I don't think he works. I think he's home. I think his wife works, and he's a stay-at-home guy.
You could be like, I thought it would be nice for me to bring you your mail. Here, Brad.
Here, buddy. Let me put your mail back in your mailbox for you.
I don't know what to tell you.
Especially if he's got one of those, like, Ring doorbell cameras. So he'll get a notification on his phone. His phone will go, and then he looks at it and sees your goofy face rifling through his mailbox.
Why is Scott rifling through my mail? What a weirdo.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I can't believe you people are saying, look in his mailbox.
Yeah, you have actual mailboxes at your door. You don't have, like, a communal...
No, you have to go to the front door to drop off the mail.
Here's what you do. You ask your mail carrier.
Good idea.
That's what you do.
There's a good one.
Say, hey, awkward question. He's a renter.
And I know my mail carrier.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to go through his mail.
His name is also Buddy.
But you could say...
we're off to a great start here.
Could you confirm that his name is Chris? That's what I think it is. And then could you also confirm your own name?
You're a real staple of the neighborhood with your... you know, male guy.
Hey, buddy.
Next door neighbor.
He cares a lot about his neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
you're doing a great job of community building there.
Hey, buddy, I'm just curious what my buddy's name is down there, two doors down.
Your mail carrier will tell you.
Yeah, buddy's a good guy.
Buddy.
Mm-hmm. Do you live on whatever street?
Sam's TV. We'll stare at Dana Ryan. I'm Scott Parks.
Western Bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their.
So we got a story here from the Kansas City Star. City of Missouri is apparently fed up with pet owners leaving behind dog poop for others to step in and pollute the town.
You need a turd, you call me.
Who can relate? So officials in Springfield have started planning, Oh, my.
What are they doing?
Officials in Springfield, Missouri have started planting tiny flags in dog poop to draw attention to the problem. And they've come up with some witty captions for the awareness campaign. For example, "Is this your turd?" is on the flag. Another flag is a bit more congenial. "This is a nudge to pick up the fudge.
You need a turd, you call me."
The police department posted pictures Wednesday of the small flags planted in poop, reminding pet owners that it is against the law to leave behind waste for others to deal with. Quoting here from the police department, "And while the poop flags are funny and witty, keeping our community clean is not a joke. And in many cases, it is against city ordinance not to clean up your pet's waste.
You need a turd, you call me."
You know, there are some communities who have gone to that DNA testing thing, which I think
usually those are apartment complexes.
Yeah. Like, they want to know, who's your dog? Where's your dog? And does this belong to your dog?
One small pinch for dogs, one giant poop for dog kind.
Mm-hmm. I just don't understand what throwing flags down at it does, other than to alert me, don't step here, which I guess I would appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the point.
I mean,
is watch out, you're entering a turd minefield.
Yeah, I.
And also, I think it is, to an extent, unsightly to have a flag sticking up there, especially if you get a bunch of them together. At which point, you know, there may be some collective effort to not, I don't know, have as many flags sticking out of the ground.
I just feel like in a city, you know, think about like Kansas City, Missouri, and they've got, you know, infrastructure issues. We've got, of all of the things that you can list in your own town, wherever that is, wherever you're listening from right now, I cannot imagine that this rises to the level that it is so important that the city's going out and flagging it.
Let me ask you a question. I just thought of this. If somebody was walking their dog in your neighborhood, okay, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you're still at home, you're getting ready for work, you're hanging out with Chris, he's planning to deliver Kansas City's evening news.
Yeah.
And you're looking out your living room window, Dana,
mm-hmm.
and you see a neighbor, not one that you necessarily know, but a neighbor,
mm-hmm.
walk by with their dog, and the dog drops a deuce in your front yard.
And they just walk on by?
And they walk on by. Would you confront them?
No.
You would just let it go?
I'd probably be like, really? Now, if it was every day or something, I probably would. But the people who walk in our neighborhood carry around those little bags or the newspaper sleeve from the Kansas City Star.
Mm-hmm.
They pick it up. I don't even have a problem with you picking that up, tying it, and putting it in someone's trash can at the curb. I have no problem
really?
With that. It's going out to the trash anyway. No.
If I knew who did it, I would offer delivery service to their place. In fact, I would deliver it to their doormat.
You would deliver it back?
Yes. Absolutely. I think you dropped something in my lawn.
Now, I will tell you this, and this is a confession.
Mm-hmm.
On occasion, and I usually only take one bag with me when I take Stella for a walk.
Oh, she has a twofer?
On occasion, she's gone for the double deuce.
A twofer. I love that.
And is there anything worse where you're like, no.
We've already done this. No, you've already pooped. I will tell you, this is great cinematic effort on my part. Dare I call myself a thespian? I already have a bag full of poop. I'm not reopening the bag and going for the double.
No.
So what I will do on the off chance that somebody is inside the house and watching me through the window, I have done this at least four times that I know of.
Oh.
I will stand outside as the dog is taking the dump. And I will look at their house and go like this.
Okay. Yep.
And pretend like I'm memorizing their address.
Like I'm going to come back.
Like I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I'll be back for this deuce. I've never gone back.
Of course you haven't.
It's a shame you didn't hit it big in Hollywood.
But I'll sit there and I'll be like, 4731 Ash. Okay, 4731.
Yeah. I'll be back.
Ash. I'll be right back.
Between that and the acting job you do when you don't wash your hands in the bathroom?
That's not true. I've actually done, I've changed my ways.
He's changed his ways.
Okay.
I wash my hands every time now.
So I will use in the past tense, between the acting job that you used to do in the bathroom mm-hmm. and that, mm-hmm. I'm just amazed that you don't have a wall full of Oscars.
You need a turn, you call me.
Come a comedian. You come a comedian.
Club. First cassette I ever bought. Story here from the Kansas City Star. There was nothing hard to understand about the former Kemper Arena. It was a big venue that held big events. Kansas City's former NBA and NHL teams called it home. The iconic structure hosted big names like Elvis Presley, Billy Graham, Van Halen, Prince. And Kansas famously won the NCAA title there in the 1988 Final Four. But now, a year into its reincarnation as Hy-Vee Arena, the venue has an entirely different purpose. It's no longer one vast single-use structure, but it houses multiple spaces that can hold dozens of different events every day. Quoting here from Steve Fouch, the developer, it's a very hard building to understand. That may explain why Hy-Vee Arena has struggled in its first year. After a $40 million redevelopment, Fouch says the venture is not breaking even.
Dumbest money ever spent in the history of this city.
Marketing the venue has proven challenging. It can hold everything from corporate banquets to graduations to concerts. But Fouch said it was pegged early on as a destination for youth basketball, a limited notion that he hopes to expand. Quoting here from Fouch, you have to come down here and see it to understand how big and diverse we are. Even with a lackluster first year, he remains optimistic that the venue will take off. He even envisions a future expansion next door at the American Royal once they move across state line. Fouch said the fact that many big events book their venues months or years in advance might have explained the slow start. Now, the arena opens at 6 o'clock in the morning and is open until midnight every day.
But think about the cost to keep that open.
But it mostly comes to life on weekends and on evenings. Let me ask.
18 hours a day?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
That's where I must confess, I have not been to the Hy-Vee Arena, a.k.a. Kemper Arena, and I don't know what happens there. Your stepson was telling me earlier that they've got restaurants in there, like Qdoba or something. But I must confess, I have not been there. I didn't understand the idea when they decided to renovate Kemper Arena. And quite frankly, this story doesn't help me understand it anymore. $40 million renovation? Damn, my son. What did you put in there, gold?
About 40 mil worth.
Could have damn near built your own arena for that. I hope that Steve Fouch and whatever Kemper Arena is now, Hy-Vee Arena, whatever, I hope it is a major success. But I have long been someone who said, it's just time to tear that thing down. It's in a horrible location. There's only one way in.
I think part of it is attached just to the nostalgia of having it and, you know.
I saw a lot of great shows there.
Other cities have gone through this. Do you
Iron
knock it
Maiden,
down? Do you,
Van Halen.
You know, someone once said, and this was quite a Prince. While ago, why not open that up as a homeless shelter?
Really?
I'm just saying, someone called or on the text line and said.
And who's gonna monitor that and provide security?
It is an enormous space that doesn't necessarily need to be raised. It could be used to help in other areas where there is a need. I just don't know that youth basketball is the need.
I'm not saying you raise it. I say you lower it to the ground.
R-A-Z-E.
I know what you meant. And this is where I'm going to need your help. Those of you who have been there, what does it look like on the inside? Because I can already see people saying, why don't you guys do your research before you report on a story? Well, this appeared in the Star this morning, and I haven't had time to go down to Kemper Arena. I didn't know this story was going to be in the Star.
Hy-Vee Arena.
Someone just said there are a lot of cheer and dance competitions there. Okay.
All right. I'm not saying it can't succeed. I'm not willing to throw the towel in yet on Hy-Vee Arena.
Then why hasn't it?
Well, it is in its first year. I mean, listen, you and I are not ones to throw stones at the success of a first-year deal.
Kansas Speedway.
Dana and Parks Bowling Bash.
My biggest goof was Kansas Speedway. I'm like, who the hell is going to go watch a bunch of cars?
I'm not willing to say that it's not cool. I'm not willing to say that it's not going to make it. And I think it's a little premature just because the first year didn't turn a profit that we say, well, you know.
It was but if they're leaving the lights on for 18 hours a day, that is an enormous staffing cost just to keep it open that long. Mm-hmm. That is a huge cost.
Somebody says it has two floors, 12 full-size basketball courts. That's great. And if they're using it for, like, youth tournaments and maybe some youth basketball leagues, I think that's a great idea. But I hope it's not just for the recreational 48-year-old guy from Roland Park, because if that's the case, I'm just going to go over to the Mission Community Center and play some basketball. I'm not driving all the way downtown into the West Bottoms to go into the old Kemper Arena, pay.
Someone else on the text line saying pickleball, lots of pickleball, which is huge right now. And in the winter will be huge because people can't play outside.
Yeah. Somebody says a youth state wrestling tournament was there. Good. I want this to work.
But how many events do you have to fill it with, honestly, to pay to keep it open that amount of time?
I think there is space for this as an alternative venue. I think particularly in the so-called center of town, having a small to mid-sized venue like this is a good thing. But yeah, it's going to take some time to catch on.
You guys remember how long Union Station was in the red? Do you remember how long that space was in the red?
Years.
And then they figured out.
Over a decade.
They figured out if we bring in enough phenomenal traveling exhibits like the Titanic, like the Princess Diana dresses. Well,
they just finished
like
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge, the dinosaur stuff.
Have people, some big programming,
yep,
yeah.
People will keep coming back. I'll have to look that up. It was years.
It took years.
It was in the red.
Well, because they hung their hat on Science City.
Not where to hang that hat.
And Science City, I think, is now breaking even or making a little bit of a profit.
But people aren't flocking there for that. But it was flocked there for the exhibit.
It was the wasted exhibition space, Dana, you will recall.
Yeah.
Where they finally, George, I'm trying to remember the name of the guy who runs the place now. George, whatever his last name is, forgive me, sir, finally realized, we've got all this space in the back.
Let's use it.
Let's bring in a traveling Princess Diana exhibit. Let's bring in the Titanic.
Oh,
Abe Lincoln.
Remember Abe Lincoln? Yes.
We went for the Abe Lincoln exhibit. They just did Stonehenge, as I mentioned. That's when they figured out if we could just use all this vacant space, bring in traveling exhibits, charge $20 a pop.
Or more.
We're going to make money.
Yeah.
And that's become the anchor of it. I mean, that's the reason a lot of people end up going down there.
It's a roving anchor, but yes, it's an anchor.
Yeah, it's the events are the anchor, and making Science City the anchor wasn't the answer.
Remember the humans exhibit? It was so controversial.
Yes.
I went twice.
I went. It was fascinating.
Bodies. It was called Bodies.
Bodies, you're right. Bodies, sorry. 576-7798. Zach, Tyler, and the others, hang tight. 576-7798. Will Starrett, Sam Stevie, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. Let's get to the phones. Zach in Kansas City. Zach, hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well, man. Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to comment real quick. I work down in the West Bottoms. I've worked down there for 20 years now, and I've seen it changing over the years. And one of the things that this arena actually brings is it brings people back down to the West Bottoms. I know it's been You know, it's been kind of a blighted area for a while, but I'm not sure if you're aware, but right next to Kemp Arena, they're building high-end residential apartments. Cool. There's also a $33 million project going on just on the other side of the 12th Street Bridge in renovation to turn an entire street city block into housing down there as well. So I understand why it's struggling right now. It's kind of weird, but when you go inside of it, it's really neat. You know, they've totally enclosed the upper level and made it its own venue, and then you have the lower level, which is its own venue. So, you know, do you remember when we were kids, when you were younger, going to events there? If you're on the upper level, that whole upper level is now its own sectioned off area.
Jason,
they have restaurants.
That's where I want to go next.
Is there food? Yeah.
Jason Ketz was telling me earlier in the newsroom that, like, there's a Qdoba inside. There's all kinds of chain restaurants.
There's not that many yet. There are ones that are coming. Longboards is there, and then they have a couple other smaller names. I don't believe there's a Qdoba in there just yet. But yeah, and then they have retail and office space throughout the entire outer area. And they do have some tenants, but not a ton just yet. But I think with the West Bottoms redeveloping itself, I think it's going to turn a profit faster than you think.
Huh. All right. Listen, I saw the story in the paper this morning, Zach, and I want to be very clear. I want it to work. If it works, the West Bottoms works, or at least that portion of the West Bottoms works. There's nobody sitting around here saying, I hope this fails. I've just always kind of had a weird question mark in my mind about Kemper Arena ever since the Sprint Center was built. Now, if they have found a way, if this Fauci character, and I don't mean that derogatorily, if this Fauci character has figured out a way to make Kemper work where nobody performs there anymore, really. I mean, Van Halen's not going there. Prince isn't, well, Prince is dead. You get my point.
It's definitely not going there.
I don't think Prince is going to perform there ever again. But if you're not using it for music venues where you're trying to compete with the Sprint Center, which you cannot, then if you turn it into a multi-use sport facility and it takes off and people are drawn to the West Bottoms, great. I'm not yet there on the convinced level that enough people will flock to what used to be an 18,000-seat arena to play basketball, to wrestle. And if I'm wrong, good. Tyler and Lee Summit. Hello, Tyler.
Howdy. Appreciate Scott and Dana hosting my show.
Well, thank you for letting us.
I'm a coach with Lee Summit Wrestling Club. We handle youth kindergarten through eighth grade wrestling. The Missouri State Wrestling Tournament was held at the Hy-Vee Arena this year. The best way I can describe it is they took a 15,000-seat arena and split it in half, and now it's two 5,000-seat arenas. Hmm. We had 16 full mats on the floor with what felt like 2 acres in the middle. It was a great spot to host the event with a large number of participants and viewers. And, you know, at the time, this was early April, so there wasn't as many restaurants and whatnot open.
Yeah.
Longboards was open. It was good.
Tyler?
Yes.
In the absence of that space, where would you have held that event prior?
In years past, it's been held in Columbia and St. Louis. And this is the first time in the last 20 years it's been in Kansas City.
Well, that's fantastic.
They're under contract for the next 4 years continuing.
So it was able to bring something to the city, and all of those people who come in and stay in hotels and spend their money here that otherwise has not been here in 20 years.
Correct.
That's amazing.
Like I say, it was still partially under construction. There was equipment and, you know, blocked off sections when we were there, but you know, it was a great venue for the event. We do the rookie tournament down at the state fairgrounds, and it's a similar size, you know, roughly 5,000-seat arena, but you can't put as many mats on the floor. And so it was a really cool you know, venue to, you know, go back and see it reborn.
Right, but
after growing up, Tyler, rodeos and concerts and everything else there.
Tyler, this was for wrestling, right?
This was wrestling. Oh, yes.
Could you foresee a scenario where, say, the Missouri 5A or 6A boys and girls high school basketball tournaments are going to be held there?
Sure.
Really?
Oh, you bet. It's a great sports venue, by all means.
Okay.
I don't know how many basketball courts they can fit
down there. They have 12.
There's a bunch.
They have 12 full-size courts.
And yeah, by all means, there was a bunch. But yeah, it was really neat to get back in there after growing up going to Kemper and, you know, watching hockey and basketball down there.
Before we get to the break, greatest concert you ever saw at Kemper Arena?
Greatest what?
Concert.
Oh, good Lord. I went and saw Korn and Rammstein at Kemper many years ago. I got peed on by a dude behind me, and it was still the best concert I've ever seen.
Korn and Rammstein?
Wow.
Yeah, Rammstein did a full fire show. It was awesome.
Okay. Okay.
By the way, bingo.
For who?
Him.
For what?
He said it was his show.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. So what are your winning spaces real quick?
So it's diagonal from top left to bottom right.
All right.
Park Snort,
mm-hmm.
Sprint Center,
mm-hmm.
Free Space,
yep.
KU and Lawrence,
yep.
And your show.
That's good bingo.
Dang it.
Shouldn't Park Snort be the Free Space?
It's one of the spaces that's kind of a given. Yeah, that's kind of a given. So it's 5767798.
Yeah, but, that one should be removed.
Well,
that's
no,
a given.
No, because for every space like that, we have a space like...
Sprint Center, for example.
Right, Sprint Center. That's the first time Dana's Hand Indoor. That doesn't come
Dana's
up as often.
Dana's Hand Indoor does not come up very often.
Right, so yeah, we have to kind of balance it out with the extra gimmies.
Well, I mean, we're only 2 hours in. Let's start another card.
Okay.
All right,
another game.
Let's go.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.